This is the podcast for people who live and work in Vegas. Come and share the unique stories with your hosts, Danny and Patrick. This is Tales from Vegas. Hey guys, welcome to Tales from Vegas. This is Danny, Patrick. We are back. This is actually back again, take two. Guys, it's been a little while since beyond. I know it takes a little while here, but we've been busy. We're busy people. We're full-time jobs and full-time dads and everything going on. So, we're back. We're back in here. We're back. We have a great guest here. We have Bingo with us. Patrick, want to kind of introduce our
Bingo? Yeah, this is Bingo. He's he's a local musician that plays around town, and I've run into him because of connections with my wife, and nice. She's a hairdresser, and that's kind of how I had met him. And in knowing that we haven't had a chance to do one of these in a little bit, with trying to reach out to certain people, I saw him at my bar and I was like, that's a great idea. He's been in doing this in town for quite a while, and I just thought there's some really good stories and things to share there. So welcome back again. Yes. Go
thank you. Thank you. And we're Dodger fans too. I forgot.
Yes, we are.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We're kind of joking around a little bit. We had to record it a little bit, and I kind of messed up on a recording there a bit, so we had to take two here again. So if you're giggling, that's why we're getting a little bit. We didn't get too far into it, but we go back. Okay,
you know that old saying, always not be recording. Exactly. Not be recording.
I think it was Sinatra said that, right? Hey, always not be recording. All right.
Well, anyway, we were talking. Bingo was telling us that he's been in town now for 22 years, which is a long time, from California, and didn't even get started really in the music industry until around 30, right?
Yeah, so you do the cover band thing, and I didn't start until I moved out here, and I just always wanted to sing, like everyone else, just karaoke or whatever, love it. But I knew I was okay. I carry a tune and stuff, but moved out here and actually said, you know what? So I actually put an ad in City Life, which I don't even know City Life. First, I don't know if newspapers are even like around anymore.
I think the City Life, but I don't know.
The Weekly was always huge back then. Too. There was City Life.
I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time, but
I straight up went old school and put an ad in the City Life and was like looking for a band. And then I got a bunch of calls and some shady dudes, like going all over town and singing and
like Craigslist.
It was dicey. Some of the guys that I met, I remember some, it was really strange. So I ultimately landed with this one guy that we started kind of playing. And then from there we met some other people.
What instrument did he play when you got started?
He was a guitar player.
Okay.
And I can't really play much. I shouldn't say that. I do play acoustic guitar a little bit.
Okay.
Enough to be dangerous.
Well, it's gotta be a great, instrument for learning to sing better, whether it's a piano or a guitar. These are aids and to help carry you through that kind of stuff.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's weird. Like, I don't know why that is. When you play, you can feel like you can sing better.
It's just it's right in front of you. Yeah. Every time you hit that, it's immediate sound. So it kind of keeps you right there. I mean, I don't really know, wouldn't consider that I know how to sing well either, but playing a piano, there is no room for error. It lets you know right there where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
I find my instrument is the shower. I sing great in the shower.
Yeah. Acoustics help. No doubt. Yeah. We just did
we need reverb.
Yeah. We just did a wedding Friday, and it was really cool. I don't know if it's the side yard. You've been over there it's over there by the FLM Factory. Anyway, it's a wedding venue, but man, the acoustics were awesome.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Makes me feel more
confident. I've been to FLM a lot. I know Gambit's Sunset, over there.
I think it's right next to E String, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's called Gambit.
Oh, okay. So it's like right next to it then.
It's right next to that.
Close to it.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's right sandwiched between like another Mexican restaurant and that what used to be E Strings there. And they do like banquets and things.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, the acoustics were epic. So I was like, I can't feel like invincible when I the sound helps the voice.
Yeah. So, oh, in case we didn't get it on the earlier recording, now, you want to go ahead and mention your band and what you're.
We're called Crown Avenue. It's just a cover band. You know, yeah. we've a variety, so it's not like one specific genre. So, yeah, we've been doing it now. I don't know. I lose track of time. You know, maybe 15 years.
That's a long time.
Around there. Yeah. I knew. So I started that, you know, with the ad in the paper, and then I think our first gig was at the. Oh, it was funny. We were at the Henderson Airport. It was like their Christmas party.
We didn't even have
a bass player. We had to rent this guy or whatever. We gave him $50. I think we lost money in the gig, but anyway. So, but yeah, I just do. You know, I've been doing that for the strip stuff and pretty much.
How was your nerves as a lead singer of a cover band for that first show? How did that go down? You know,
the hardest part. Yeah, you know, being
still
in front.
He still feels it. Like, oh, I still feel it, get weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you still do. Okay. I figured that show was specifically. Right. It's your first like paid gig, man. That could be.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was a little nerve wracking at first, mm-hmm. but you know, once you get going,
right,
it
kind of melts away.
That first song, basically.
I know. It's funny when people haven't been on stage or are not a musician. Sometimes they'll look at me, even if it's Steph, my wife, or someone. You know, I'd never be able to get on stage. This and that. And what they don't understand is that's all that thought for the buildup. But as soon as that first note is strung or that first hit on the drums, it's all gone. You kind of just get in that groove. So all that people think about, it's not with you that whole time.
Yeah,
they don't understand that.
It actually, you know, I would get more nervous like singing in front of you two guys than I would like Bonnaroo Festival or something like that. Right. Like that would be a dream come true, like playing in front of hundreds of thousands. I mean,
the amount of
the adrenaline rush would be.
Well, there is something that is crazy about feeling like you're under a microscope. And that's where the studio can be hard sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, everyone's watching. It's your turn. Yeah. And when you're a musician, you go into the studio to record. It's like, first of all, as a drummer, it was always like the best and the worst part about it, because you're always up first. So you got to shine, and everyone's there watching you because ain't nothing else has happened.
And they can't get going until you're done, right?
Yeah, like, but you also get done first. So then you're like, sit back and watch them all go through it. Yeah. So it's kind of one of those things.
But, you know, when you play, whether, I don't care where it's the strip or you're playing at a bar, I mean, once that, you know, alcohol for the, you know, it's that great equalizer.
Right. So, the courage comes in.
So like it's different. Like go up there and do that. It's not that big deal. Like if you're singing at like a wedding or something though, where like it's a captive audience and you can't screw up and it's like, you know, those things make me nervous.
Yeah.
Because it's like you got one shot. Or like singing the national anthem. I've always said, you know, I think I could rock that. You know? I don't know, man.
For the goal, the gates trying to bring out.
I don't know. Or the aviators or something. Yeah, but I feel like if I screw that up, man, it'd be like, let the country down.
This is what you want to do. You want to kind of practice. You go to just some little league game and just go out there before the game and just start singing.
I know. Yeah, because you always see those people that like jack up the lyrics. I'm like, how did you follow that song? And like, I bet you I would just be like,
yeah. I mean, it's one thing to think maybe you like mess up from nerves, but then when you see people go up and try to do like, I think, what's her name?
Fergie?
You try to just go off on and do something different and it just doesn't work.
So bad.
Not with that song. Like, how different are you trying to make that song?
Yeah. She took that to a different level. It wasn't that. I mean, I thought it was like, she was somewhat in tune, but yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
No, but it reminds me of the old school. Remember Carl Lewis?
He did one.
Oh, he tried.
I do remember that. I forgot about the Carl Lewis one.
Yeah, poor guy. It was so embarrassing.
you could probably go down a rabbit hole of YouTube in a bad performance.
The only reason that, because SportsCenter would ever still play that every once in a while, because SportsCenter guys had so much fun with that, they couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's so mean, but you can't stop laughing.
You're right. They play that about as much as 50 Cent throwing out the first pitch.
Those are the good ones. There's some really good ones. The Mariah Carey one is pretty funny. Straight down.
Absolutely. So you said about 15 years. So it took about from the time you got here, that took about you 7 years to kind of get going from when you kind of stayed here to get into that band and get that moving, huh?
I mean, it took us a minute, but I got lucky because we had I'm trying to think of the first few gigs. We played like some local bars. And so, you know, we played a lot. I think the one we played a lot was God, it's been changed so many times. It's the one there on Sunset where it's got, they used to have the, oh dang, has the, had the plane theme over by the Wayne Newton's place.
Oh,
it'll come to me here in a minute.
Like the landing or there's some of that? Or
it used
the,
to be called,
I think
I'm going to forget here, but. Or I'll remember here in a minute.
A little bar
but,
with it, right.
But we started playing there, and then, but I, you know, I wanted, you know, when you play here, the idea is to play in the Strip.
I mean,
whatever, it's glamorous, it's cool, or whatever, yeah. But.
Well, and nothing else, I mean, maybe a better check if that's what you're doing it for.
Yeah, well, but I had a friend, I had a good in that worked at Caesars Entertainment, and so she was able to get me in the door with the entertainment director, who's actually still in town here, works for another one of the casinos. And then we started playing at O'Shea's, the original O'Shea's.
Oh, nice. Okay.
If you remember that.
I do.
The dollar beer. And
Absolutely. Growing up, before I had turned 21, that was kind of always like a buzz of where you could go and maybe get served without getting carded.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they had the beer pong. Yeah.
For some reason at O'Shea's, like that was like a spot. You know.
And plus, we've had Darby O'Gill, which played O'Shea's too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
we know Darby. We know Andy. He's played down there.
So we used to play them with them a lot.
There we go.
Cool. Okay, yeah, they were part of the... kind of the this circuit, so to speak.
Absolutely. I remember the beginnings of Darby. I was even for a little brief time when back when Fido was open and I would sit in and fill in for drums for them if the drummer was whatever gone or needed a break, you know, that. So I've grown up with them musically and a lot of those people. And matter of fact, Joe, who's the accordion player, I've been in bands with original bands too. So
this
is pretty integrated with
which
him.
Is Ringo and Bingo.
Ringo.
Exactly.
Is it?
Sounds like
his stage name, Ringo Malarkey.
Right. Yeah. Ringo Malarkey. Yeah.
That's funny.
This is like a morning radio show, Ringo and Bingo.
It's funny because my son plays drums and I'm like, oh, there's Ringo back there. I get Ringo to step in.
That's great.
You go with him.
So you have a drum set around the house or did he ask for one?
No, we want to get him an electric kit just because for it's smaller in the sound, but he doesn't want one.
You don't want to force him.
And we don't want to necessarily, in a perfect world, we would get an acoustic or a live kit, but it's just, we don't have the space. And then of course it's going to be freaking annoying.
Yeah.
I've said this a lot, but hats off to my parents
for dealing with it.
With listening to me try to teach myself drum. I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
My goodness. It had to have been crazy.
But it came out good because you got better, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I never can say that.
I
think it got worse.
Yeah. How does he like?
How did he get worse? He started off good and he got worse.
But I mean, yeah, you're right there. I mean, they put up with that. It's not easy. I mean, electric set, but it's just that feels not the same either.
So a lot of the gigs on the Strip, for the most part, you are on an electric kit. And I know any drummer that my drummer that I've had for a long time, but I even the other ones I've talked to, I mean, nobody likes it. But
and if you're on a real kit, you're behind some kind of plastic, plexiglass, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of times too. So
So the ironic thing on the Strip is that as glamorous it is, there's just more rules, and so you can't really rock out too much. There, you know, a lot of the casinos, they're worried about the sound levels, right? Because at the end of the day, they don't want to disturb the tables.
The gamblers.
That's where the money's at. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, there were times that some gigs where they'll hold up the sound thing or whatever. Or I can't remember what that
really?
What's a thing measures the sound. And OSHA was there. Well, I think it's at OSHA. O'Shea's. Yeah.
Really?
They had is it OSHA, I guess, was
checking the decibel?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So... As a drummer, which I'm not a drummer, but as a drummer, it's almost like torture because you can't really
let loose, right?
Let loose, yeah.
Sometimes that might put them in a specific zone, like, all right, here I am.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess you'd think maybe sometimes on some of those venues they don't care. I mean, it's funny because I've been to a place like Hennessy's where they
we played there many times.
Right. Yeah. And same thing with Darby, but man, let me tell you, if you're in one of those seats in front of them, it's loud. So I don't know. Maybe they don't care. Maybe certain venues do, certain ones don't, you know? I don't know. I've even seen Darby at Hammers, which is like a bar that off of Horizon Ridge and like College area.
Yeah.
Or Horizon and College area. And I stopped by there one night after, because they were playing on a Friday after I got off work. And now I kind of live out that way. my goodness. I love them to death, but it was, those tables right there, there's people sitting there eating. I don't know how they do it.
You got to have the right. If it's too loud, then it starts driving business away. It actually goes the opposite effect. So that's the thing. You got to.
So where are some of the venues that you've played in the past or that you are currently playing that you like, you know, love, or that were some of your favorites or anything like that?
So, we've played, anytime we can play, like we've done Brooklyn Bowl a couple times.
I love that venue.
Yeah, Brooklyn Bowl or the House of Blues we've done a couple times for like corporate gigs, but it's the same stage that, you know, I guess I can say I shared the stage with, I don't know, whoever, you two or whoever played there, you know what I mean? Like, but
we played there first.
Yeah. But when you play those places, like, you know, I think probably Brooklyn Bowl is really fun. That's just because it's like, you know, it's legit. Tier, like, you know,
nice.
National touring acts, you know, play there. And the sound is it's the sound. Yeah.
And feels real. Yeah, like you're dealing with a professional sound guy, board, everything's legit.
Yeah. See, that's got to feel good. Like you said, knowing that there's certain huge people that have come and played on that same stage.
Yeah. That was cool. Yeah. That was actually for Jimmy Kimmel's rap. Like they had a rap party.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I remember like 6-7 years ago, they came here. Oh, maybe it was longer.
Well, yeah,
he did like a run of shows.
They're like a week here or something.
Yeah, he has roots here, correct?
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And so then the very end, they had like their rap party for everyone, and they hired us because one of the girls saw us like a year prior at Planet Hollywood and was like, oh yeah. She's like, oh yeah, you guys would be great. If my company comes out here, I'll hire you guys. And I was like, yeah, right. I'll never see
how many
her
times
again.
Have you heard that?
What company? And then next thing you know, she calls me and I'm like, she asked, and she said for Jimmy Kimmel. I'm like, what? Why didn't you? You didn't want to mention that before?
Yeah, exactly. You didn't say Jimmy. Yeah, it's my company.
That's somebody's company. Yeah.
Right.
So that was cool. So that was what unfortunately, though, Jimmy wasn't there for whatever. He had left already that day. And then Guillermo, I don't know if you see the show, but he was gone too. I think he had left. I kept saying, like, the only guy I want to meet is Guillermo.
Yeah.
And then not there. I think he left. But we met the band. We got some love from the band.
That's cool.
Cleto and the Cletones, who I think grew up out here also.
Cool.
So
that's a great like gig. Like, was that just a one night thing?
Yeah, that was it. Just a one and done
for the wrap of the whatever they were doing. That's cool.
That was
though.
Cool though, just to to put on the resume.
Did you not have a little bit of a residency at Margaritaville at one point, or you played there quite a bit?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a minute, like, you know, right now it's just a part time thing, but you know, for I don't know, a good 4-year run there, did it like full time. And so at that time, you know, this was obviously pre-COVID when there were more music venues and stuff too. But we were like one of the house bands at Margaritaville, which was, I think there were 7 days a week at that time. O'Shea's was 7 days a week at that time. So we were in the mix there.
Yeah.
There was another, like Carnival Court we played at Carnival Court for a while too.
Yeah, they always had. I mean, is that some of these just got taken and never recovered from COVID, right?
Yeah, sad. Like O'Shea's is completely gone.
Yeah.
I mean, the casino's there, but there's no more music.
Right. So, going on there anymore.
Yeah. So music's starting to come back, which is good, but.
It's taken so long that you're just, I mean, who's surviving it as a band or that's making money? You know, it's hard to.
It's crazy that's taken. This is like almost 4 years later and it still hasn't really recovered.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why. Yeah, they you would think that so they got rid of music at O'Shea's, and then they used to be at Planet Hollywood. They had the Extra Lounge. I don't know if you remember ever going there, but that's completely gone.
It's
actually they extended the Gordon Ramsay place, so it's like a small little bar, but there's like no stage.
Wow.
So that's gone, and then we used to play a lot at the place, right before COVID, I'd always wanted to play at the, what's the Cleopatra's bar thing at Caesars, right?
Yeah,
you've seen that?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Looks really sweet. Yeah. I always remember coming to Vegas and that just seemed like the definitive place to play if you're a musician. And I never had the chance to play there. And then right before COVID, our agent called us and he's like, oh, you guys want to play Cleopatra's? I'm like, oh yes, finally. You know, and then like a week before the gig was, I think, when the official shutdown.
Oh no, damn it, you almost reached it.
But it's gone, it's not even there
it's
anymore.
Not even there
I don't think that's gone.
It's always a constant reimagining of these casinos and their venues and stuff. It's crazy sometimes, you know.
But you know, the So, but it's starting to come back. There's, you know, obviously all the casinos, you know, as what's the new one? Fountain Blue. I'm sure there's going to be something in there. I mean, obviously Resorts World is newer. There's also a new country, Big Red or something like that. I don't know. I've played there.
Oh, yeah. That's
supposed to be pretty cool.
Blake Shelton.
Oh, yeah. Blake Shelton. Yeah.
Right there on the strip, right? Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that that's going to be a pretty big deal, too.
Yeah. They have music. They have live music 7 days a week, like 12 hours a day.
Well, you got his name on it. That's going to help.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does. That's what he's known for. So I'm sure that helps push the envelope for them. Some of these places, it's, you know, they still have a bigger goal in their mind, and that's the gambling or the machine.
His whole name is music, basically.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Advertise it. That's cool.
I know we had somebody on. We were talking with Cherry Hill. Some of the members from Cherry Hill.
Oh, are they still around?
They are. They actually got back together, and they're putting out some new music, and they're playing. They're still playing Sand Dollar quite a bit and things like that. Anyway, he was mentioning a new music venue, and it might already be open. I don't know, but that was going to be opening up on Main Street.
Oh, yeah.
Remember,
right.
There was something like really like supporting and almost like backyard billiards and whatever that's down on Fremont. But like an idea like that, but on Main Street too.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that'll help too, because I mean, they're going to be looking not to pull in original acts, but also just have filler nights where they have like, you know, bands that can do all kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so I hope it comes back. I hope it comes back stronger.
No, everyone, it doesn't happen
overnight though.
It's just weird with the casinos, you know. It's everybody loves live music, and but it's like the first thing that gets cut. You know what I mean? It's like, I guess like the school systems too, like like art.
Yeah, world, all the
music's budget cuts. It's like
the sport stays around. It makes sense.
It's funny. It's part of what we talk about in this podcast as a whole. Just why it, because not only does casinos and gaming, we say it in our intro, I think, how it helps build this town, but so did entertainment.
Yes.
And it's weird how fast they can get away from that and then bring it back and get away from that.
Yeah.
Even at our casino, we've had venues that had a great 500 seat, great soundboard, great, you know, acts.
Just
even Imagine Dragons were playing there before they really broke big.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they get rid of it. And it's a bingo hall.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I played at that Fado in there. We used to play at that Fado.
You did?
Yeah. All right, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, that's now the whatever the Mexican restaurant.
Right. Well, it turned into Fado, and then it was Quinn's. And now it's just.
Oh, Quinn's too. I guess we were.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Quinn's that we were
at. It might have been, because Fado was only for the first 6 years.
It was Quinn's.
And then it turned into Quinn's.
I've worked Quinn's. It's funny. I bartended there. Yeah. The whole time. Yeah.
All right. We were in that back.
Yeah. In that little backstage.
We all talked about how much we missed that place and how vibey it was and stuff.
I don't get why like that. But that's just the town sometimes.
Yeah. So they get away from entertainment and then they bring it back in and they get it.
They realize like, hey, we need entertainment. Like you had entertainment. You got rid of it.
I know. I love it. Usually it's free, you know, it's like free entertainment, you know, it drives people in.
Yeah. And do people like it?
I don't know. You know, I know there's always people crunching numbers and that might be higher up and running scenarios on a spreadsheet, but it's insane to me because I don't feel like it runs people off.
It brings them in.
My wife, when Steph and I finally get like a date night or a little bit of free time to go eat some dinner, which is
very
rare. Yeah,
you want to watch live music, right?
We went down to Water Street. We'd eat a good restaurant down there, and we ended up walking across the street to the Pass because they're the only ones that had something going on. It was like a whole bunch of old-timers playing music, having fun, and there's a gaming bar there that got busier when they started.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, everyone's gambling. There are some people that camp out, but there's going to be people that camp out no matter what.
Yeah, when I'm on vacation, which is rare, but like that's the one thing I always love. And honestly, like a live band, like actually the crappier the band, the more I like it, actually, in a sick way. I like a shitty band, actually. It's kind of fun.
Or just someone that doesn't take themselves so serious. Too. There's part of that to it.
I love
just doing what they do.
I just love live music generally, but so I don't care if they're good or bad, but I actually kind of like them.
As far as your band that you play, what's your, I know you guys say you kind of all over the place without really a specific genre, but what is your favorite genre in general? Or not just for you personally, but like for what you like to play with the band?
Personally, I don't even know anymore. I like all, I know it sounds cliche. I like it all, but I mean, I do like the 90s rock stuff, you know, like more rock versus like having to do like, Like I would like, you know, STP or something.
Yeah.
I would prefer, but you know, when depending on where we're playing, you know, if it's like a dance driven room, then we got to be playing stuff like, you know, Shut Up and Dance and like Bruno Mars, which I like that stuff too, but it's just like a little taxing to like, and it's like, you got to keep the dance floor going. So it's like 45 minutes straight of singing and it's like, it's very, it's like a frenzy. So I like more of the rock stuff. I mean, I grew up, I'm probably like you guys. I mean, I like a good singer songwriter. So like just a guy that can, you know, like I like a good tune though. I don't care if it's country or heavy metal or if like a good song is a good song.
Yeah, I agree.
To me, I don't care what genre it is.
A good cover band guy, that's the perfect way to be, you know. You just be like, I like everything. So you don't, you know, you're not afraid.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like the overwhelming part is that, you know, there's a lot of those like theme bands out there, whether they're like 80s or 90s or 70s, or they'll do what maybe a tribute to this where they have a, like, you know, if you're going to do a 90s band, well, there's only those songs in the 90s.
You're limited. Yeah.
When you're like, just do a variety, it's almost overwhelming because it's like, you know, you got
to. Like, it's a better way to go, but it's harder.
Yeah, it's a better way to go because especially if you can, like, you know, as the room, you know, the demographic of the room changes, you can kind of switch the direction of the music you're playing or take requests. Of course, that's where the money's at and request stuff, but.
Of course.
But then you, that's a lot of songs. But of course, now with the iPads and, I mean, just like, that's it. Just pull it up. And
So you get, you know, like you said, the variety, you might have somebody asking for Iron Butterfly, then the next minute you're having to ask for Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute, I can't wrap around this exactly.
I was always adamantly opposed to the iPad or, you know, the lyrics, you know, with the iPad or the phone, you know, for the, especially for the singer, not so much for the guys. I always felt like these artists that just look at the, or these cover bands where they're just looking at their iPad.
Just reading music.
Just like that's not a great way to like connect to the audience.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to get open to the idea of having, at least me, it's just like a hang up I have. I just want to like know the lyrics of the song, but with the requests and stuff, being able to pull up the phone and just read the lyrics. I mean, everybody does it now.
Yeah.
It's not even like,
well, I think for, if someone has a request or something throws you for a loop and you have that as a backup, I think that what's wrong with that? You're going to try and do it, right? If they're going to like maybe request something, throw some money, anything, let's see what can we figure this out. But I think if you're like learning songs as a band and you actually learn them, you're going to love playing them more than just sight reading on site.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think then you're going to put your own, no matter what, you're going to put your own twist onto that song if you actually practiced it together and versus just, oh, name a song. Okay, let me look it up. All right, let's play it.
Right.
Well, that's cool in a pinch, but if you do every song like that, I think they'll feel it. The audience might feel that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually, strangely enough, when I have the lyrics in front of me, I screw it up more because I'm like, I'm concentrating on the, and I can't like.
And you can't feel the music.
Basically. I can't like, you know,
you're not in the moment as much.
Well, yeah.
It kind of goes like in our profession, bartending, you know, you don't know all the drinks. Someone tells you, what is that? And then you go, like, let me look it up real quick. And it's not always the best drink you make because you're kind of just reading what you do and go to
measuring
other than stuff that we already know we can make out.
Like I've made this lemon drop martini a thousand times, so I know my tweak to going to make you love it.
And then you're reading some, but like you said, there's just so much out there. It's impossible to know everything. So everyone's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
And you're like, all
right. Yeah. And you got to pick songs that are going to like hit, you know, like 80% of the room. So you got to go, you can't get too, you know, some of these, sometimes I see these cover bands where they get too off. Like, you can't go too deep into someone's library. Basically, you go to, I guess, Spotify or like, you know, iTunes and whatever's the most purchased song of that artist, whether you like it or not, is usually the one to play.
Yeah.
Some artists obviously have way more songs to choose from, but
I mean,
well,
a deep cut for certain artists might be a lot of fun, right? But for the wrong artist, a B-side, they're like,
A deep cut of Engelbert Humperdinck is probably not going to be very received.
Yeah, I do want to do some Engelbert, though.
Yeah.
Please release me or something like that.
And I think we got caught up before is that when you grew up, you were listening to, your dad was a musician, you listened to Tom Jones, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah, we had a record player then, so it shows my age. But it was basically Tom Jones and Engelbert Humperdinck and the Manhattan Transfer.
I like it because those are the people that stick with you and you still remember that. So that
I think that's just from like singing, I guess, because those are like crooners or whatever you want to call those two. So I always, maybe that's where I got it or whatever.
That's
got the itch on
it. You know, you mentioned when you go into reading the room and playing to 80% of it, how easy is that to know right off the bat? Or are there situations where, like, for example, that rap party you're talking about for Jimmy Gill, like, you kind of knew the audience going in.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case, right? I mean,
It depends, but we actually, so funny you say that, because just recently we, Kelly and I went to, Stoney's the other night.
Okay.
You know, and crazy. I didn't realize.
It's still going.
Doesn't
crazy
look like there's anyone like in the park. And then you get in there and it's like it's freaking Roadhouse like movie or something. Yeah. It's crazy. But, we played there once. And the agent that booked us was like, before we got played there, I was like, you sure we don't, like, it's a country bar. Like, do we need country music? He's like, oh, no, you just need a couple. Like, no. I'm like, all right, okay. We got, like, enough to be dangerous. You know?
All right.
And then, like, some Southern rock, you know, like, I don't know, John Cougar. That's not country, but at least it's kind of
in there. It's kind of in the realm.
And so we walked in there. I'd never been in there. And I walked in, and I'm like, motherfucker. They were like, you know, I don't know if you guys have been there, but they're like the line dancing.
Yeah,
it's
I've
like
been there
on steroids.
Times.
I was like, what the fuck? This guy, what? This guy threw us under the bus. He's like, oh, no, that's fine. Just
they line dance to everything, though, right?
So that was the funny part. So that we started playing, we'll play whatever, Billie Jean or whatever. Yeah. And they were just, they'd line dance to every song. What a
I know you can line dance to Billie Jean.
It was just weird. I was like, dang, people are nuts. But it's fun. It was that was when I was like, this guy, man. I was like tripping. I was like,
and it ended up being a great show, right? Because they don't care. They just want to dance.
Yeah.
And I think that dance, that particular type of line dancing can just work for any beat, right? I mean, they can find a way to just
Like literally, they will like that. We had the other night, and it was I don't know what song was, like Lil Wayne or something like that, and they were just all out there doing dancing. Yeah, it's a fun place actually.
I want to see Rancid play at Stoney's so I can see some moshing and line dancing.
You know, they would. I'm telling you, they'll find a way. They will find a way. Yeah. So that was the only.
Oh, that's cool. That's a great. Experience of anything, you know, like, all right, well, cool, that's fucking awesome.
Otherwise, we kind of know where we're going into. Sometimes though, with like even this wedding we just did on Friday, you know, we met them. They were like, we met them at a bar, and they're kind of like, I don't know, mid 30s, and the guy's got like a face tattoo, and like they're kind of like, I don't know what the word is, just like alternative, I guess. I don't know what the word is, but I'm like, okay. And so when we met them, we were playing like they wanted to hear stuff like, you know, like Tool or Alice in Chains and stuff like that. And it's fine. Yeah. So we played that. But then for the wedding, I was like, dang, man, I don't know. Like, what do you guys want us to play? Because, like, your parents are going to be, like, old, you know, older. It's not just people that want to hear.
Right.
So they're like, oh, yeah, just play whatever. And I was like,
whatever really, is a hard one.
Oh, man, like, I don't know. Do you want me to go, like, that route, the 90s? Or do you want me to go more like... I mean, you know, do you want me to play like Shut Up and Dance with Me? And like, are you going to get offended by that? Like, you know, because some people hate pop music or whatever, like they're haters and stuff. I'm like, he's like, no, just play whatever. And so it was all right. And the weddings are great, though. That's ideally, I think, where I want to move. And I think any musician that's been doing this a while is to get to the corporate gigs and the weddings, because that's where the money is like exponentially better.
Yeah, especially corporate, right? They're going to write it all off anyway. Yeah. And it's a way to expense and stuff. And you just can be there to reap in the benefit of that. And normally, like, especially weddings, I mean, everyone's just such a good mood. It's
open
it's so nice.
Good mood.
So
no one's judging.
No one's losing money in a machine.
Sound meter or whatever. No. There's nothing like that.
Well, so speaking of weddings and bringing, we had interviewed Tony Sedola, and he does and he had talked about, you know, he's been playing since the 70s, and he's playing for a long time, and he talked about the, they used to do weddings back, you know, back
Jersey.
East.
Was it Jersey?
Yeah. And he slowly the takeaway of the, you know, the DJs and the little thing taking over the wedding part.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
How is that for you guys? Are you finding that the live music, you know,
DJs are the death of live music. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to hate on them. I mean, is what it is.
It is what it is. But he noticed that, like, that killed his, because that's what they were doing, and that killed their business. Is all the DJing back in the 80s. They got rid of them, basically.
Well, it's cheaper, you know? Right, and it is. It's more, you can play any song, like, literally.
You just push a button. Exactly.
Yeah.
So does that cut in? I mean, are you finding now that, I mean, so I'm just asking how the climate on that is. Is it still, you know, mainly that, and then you guys get some
life? I mean, for wedding, we've only, I don't know, maybe 10 weddings, but... I was asking the venue, I said, do you guys get a lot of bands, you know? They go, not that many. And I think it's just a thing that, I don't know if it's a cost thing or what. But
I think it is, you know, but unfortunately.
It's probably it's also probably a last minute after all the decisions that are made on a wedding. Right. From the plating to
they don't even think about the music.
And then when it finally comes to the music, they're like, that's DJ. You know, but really, I think if a lot of people sat down and were honest with themselves, the band is so vibey.
Think so too.
We had a live band for me and the wife's wedding. We had a live band, and it was great because then they can interact with you. Yeah. And they could do anything. And it's not a push a button. They actually have fun.
Yeah.
With
or if you
want to
come up and do like Rockstar karaoke or something, I'm like, yeah, sure. You want to sing a song?
It
go
was
for
a show. Right. It was like, it was show with a dinner and dancing.
Well, and there's inflection and tone, you know, with a DJ playing a song, it's that song that you have heard that same way every time. Exactly. Whereas when you get a band playing something, any song that you think you know, there's just that little bit of personality to it.
It was.
Or a lot of personality. Right. Either way, it changes everything.
Well, that's just live. I think that's just live music. Like, just, it's like this intangible thing. Like, you know, why do we like watching someone sing a song that's not even, maybe not even close to the original, but like it's better.
It's
in a
captivating.
Weird way. I don't know. It's like some weird thing. Like even like I was thinking like it's. I think it's weird thoughts sometimes, but like that we dance. You know, like the song comes on and our body wants to move. Yeah, like this is weird, right? Like how does that happen?
It's the best magic.
I think we just like watching people create. Whether it be singing or drawing or sculpting, we love to watch that because we love to watch something being made out of nothing, basically. Yeah. We love someone opening their mouth and singing a beautiful note or the music going. It just, it like you said, and it grabs your body, just loves it.
I know, it's weird, right?
It's beauty in it.
There's connection.
There's only a few truly universal feelings across the whole world, and hearing music's one of them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care what area of the world you're from and smell like of food and just smells that you grew up. So I was talking with someone recently and it's a hard one to figure out, but you know, is it a smell that brings you back faster or a sound? Because I tell you what, I mean, you can hear a song or a part of something that can bring you back somewhere specifically in a room at an age, and it's unreal. I know a smell can do that too, but
I read somewhere, I think they said smell was the strongest one.
I bet. But I, you know, music, sound is right there too, right? You know, you hear something like that one song you haven't heard forever, and all of a sudden you're right back to your teenage years or whatever it is, you know, and there's something magical about that.
As funny as it is, when I hear the old Young Guns movies, these come out, and then Young Guns 2, the Bon Jovi did the whole, you know. When I hear Young Guns 2, anything from that, I think of Lake Mead. We used to, my buddies, when we were teenagers, hanging out Lake Mead, we stay all night stuff.
Jumping off the cliffs. What was it called? The cliffs? Was that there when you guys used to go out there?
It was. I was too chicken for the cliffs. So, okay. Yeah, exactly.
That was where we all went to go swim, jumping off the cliffs, which are just a cliff into water now.
Yeah.
But there was cliffs into water.
Now it's just, now it's just a cliff.
Now it's just a cliff in the water.
I'm jumping off that.
It's sad, but like, but yeah, actually, yeah, I mean, it's so powerful, like the music. So yeah, I love it. I mean, I don't do it, except I'm more of a, there's people that, it's kind of weird, funny that you guys asked me, because I'm like, I do it, but I'm not like a full time, you know, there's guys that are like all in, you know, that do it like for a living. And I basically just, now it's, for me, it's nice. It's kind of like extra money, which is cool. So more like a weekend warrior now. Good. But I mean, I've been doing it long enough. I mean, I just love singing, you know. I just love playing. I like the connecting with people and
it's that creative output too.
Sitting down where you say you dabble on some acoustic guitar and you're a singer.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have some original music. You've got to have things that you've created.
Nothing. I swear to you, I have nothing. It is crazy. I have every time I start playing a song or writing, it turns into like a song that's, you know, like I'm singing Karma Police or something. Like, shit, damn, no,
like,
dang it.
Good. Like,
oh,
like, oh,
no, this is a song.
This chord, every chord progression already exists though. Like, right?
So, I know, I mean, it's weird. Yeah. I mean, every song nowadays is, I mean, it's literally, especially the pop current stuff, it's like four chords over and over, like the whole song. Yeah. I mean, a lot of like Imagine Dragon stuff is like, it's pretty simple, but then of course all the
production is guys, I mean, his voice, he's got a lot of personality in that vocal performance.
Oh yeah,
and they have a lot of production and big drum sounds, which is cool, but I know what you mean.
Yeah,
you know, it's,
and those, actually speaking of Imagine Dragons, I think I've told you this before, but that was like when we first started at O'Shea's, they were part of the you know, like, not, there were like four like rotating bands. They were one of them for a minute.
Oh, that's cool.
I remember when they came in and the sound guy was this guy Chase was like, yeah, there's this band here that's playing. They're called Imagine Dragons. He's like, yeah, they're pretty good. He's like, they play like deeper 80s cuts though. So like they're playing like Oingo Boingo versus playing like, you know, Jesse's Girl or something like that. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. But they weren't there that long. And then I remember we were playing this gig one time at, I think it's called Bailey's. I don't know if it's still there anymore. It used to be on like North, like Decatur and like, I don't know what that is out there, but it was like this bar. And I vividly remember this. I was like setting up and I got a phone call. I remember I was like in the trunk of my car, like taking stuff out because they were setting up for this gig. And it was, the guy calls me. He's like, oh, hey, this is whatever his name is. I'm the drummer for Imagine Dragons. Oh. And he's like, yeah, can you cover our shift at O'Shea's, whatever, next week? Because we have this audition in Hollywood. And I was like, you know, I was kind of like a hater. Like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, good luck with that, buddy. You and everyone else.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, whatever, you're not going to make it.
Your money.
Bring in aid. Play the O'Shea's gig, you know, whatever.
You're like, I've met an entertainment lawyer, too.
And then you got big. You're like, oh, fuck.
So, I can't remember what happened. Maybe we covered it or not. But then they were gone. Then, like, 3 years later, 2 years, I remember I had Sirius Radio at the time. And I remember seeing it said Imagine Dragons because they obviously easy name to hard name to forget. And I was kidding.
You're like, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
Right. And that's exactly what I mentioned at the casino, you know, that we were when they had the music venue. They were there a lot. And which was cool because I think they were still just playing. They were playing their music then. So it probably was in that little cross moment between where they kind of dropped the cover part. Brought in their original stuff and was trying to pump that up, you know? So I think that's when we caught them in that moment as far as our casino.
I vaguely remember that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's actually cool. I was watching, because I like watching on YouTube just live clips, and there was one of them at one of these festivals, so many of them nowadays. It was in Ireland, I think, or wherever. Where's 500 Miles? Let's, the Proclaimers.
Proclaimers.
They're Irish. Yeah. I guess, or they're
British of some sort, and somewhere in those isles. Yeah.
Anyway, they're one of those shows where it was like 300,000 people, and they started playing 500 Miles for the crowd, and the crowd went crazy. But there's a part like, I think before they start playing or in the middle, he says like, "It's crazy, I'm here singing this," and to think I was playing this at a bar in I think he actually specifically mentions O'Shea's at a bar in at a casino in Las Vegas 12 years ago. And I'm like, oh, he's talking about O'Shea's.
Yeah,
no way.
Yes. Yeah, and now he's playing in front of
all those
200,000 people.
Oh, I love that. Crazy. I love that. That is so cool.
Yeah. So you guys got me. I mean, I'm doing a long time. You got me instead of Match of Dragons. So.
No, we're good, buddy. Here we want you here, Billy.
Listen. This is we love talking to the working parts of this city. And and you've been here 22 years. I've been here my whole life. He's been here for 77 years.
Yeah, basically.
And I mean, but this is what we really like. It's like that whole like what makes this town tick kind of thing. And everyone's got their little part of his town, and that's what I find so fascinating.
Yeah,
because everyone is kind of from somewhere else that brings them to this town. I mean, there are some of us that are born. I mean, you know, we talked about the younger generations. There's going to be a lot of people saying they're born and raised here.
Oh yeah,
of the influx.
Yeah,
but
of our age, it's not. You don't often know someone born and raised here.
It's rare. Rare.
Yeah,
you guys are like you're a unicorn. Over here.
Yeah, easy. Basically,
very magic.
Yeah.
But yeah, but like you're saying, just you know, but we're fine. We love to, you know, that's what we have this podcast for. Give love to, you know, not just Vegas, but especially the musicians here that are not, you know, the Imagine Dragons. They're not the Proclaimers. The guys that still work hard. They've still been a long time. You still have a great story, and that's what this is here for. To give love to some of you guys, you know, that still have amazing stuff to say, you know?
And
I know talking to you guys a lot of times, like, I can't remember everything. So every time when we talk this way, we something jiggles for us, like, you know, talking about the Imagine Dragon guys. I'm pretty sure you didn't think about that until just right now. It probably popped up.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes just stuff kind of goes through. But this was the whole nexus of all this stuff to give some of that, give you guys a little bit of a voice of your story, of your backstory, of your going up and stuff. Cause it is, it's good. Great. It's not the Proclaimers and it's not the Imagine Dragons, but you know, it's you, it's Bingo. It's Crown Avenue. You guys going through in your story. And that's the stories that we love. The people that don't get enough, as we feel love here in Vegas and the music scene and everything. And just even the workers here, you know, not just music, but we always find that our musicians have a really, always have a really great story.
Yeah.
There's such a connection that musicians have to a crowd and a city and a venue that no one else sees. It's kind of funny. You know, you might see things that no one else sees. You're up there on stage watching.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot going on at all moments when it's an interaction of music and they're listening and you're watching the vibe and you could probably see when it switches. Like you said, you can see, you certainly, if you have let's say you get hired for 3 hour gig, is that about normal, right? Maybe three.
Yeah. About 3 hours. When I first started, I was like, holy shit. 3 hours.
Right.
Yeah, but now it's like
couple breaks, whatever.
Like three
sets,
3 1-hour sets usually, something like that. Yeah.
So that's why you can have to change in the middle of it. You see the get older, or the crowd get younger. Right. Most of the time, I'll probably get younger the later it gets.
Yeah.
You see that shift.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be ready on for that kind of thing. It's it same thing at a bar. You know, I mean, DJ comes on at certain center bars and stuff, and well, here goes, they're leaving because they can't take it anymore. Yeah, and then that's what brings other people in, because they want to be pumped up and do things, you know. But you, I mean,
yeah, later in the night, it always gets better. You know, obviously, people are more drunk too, so they come. But yeah, I mean, at the end, you know, we talk about like the songs, like, it's still the end of the day. It comes down to those big songs that everyone's, you know, I remember one time, like the, because sometimes when you play at these venues, when we were doing the casino thing, the, like the bar staff will like chime in, and they'll, you know, they sometimes have a little too much power, to be honest, but, but they'd be like, why, you know, I remember one time, like, why do you guys all play the same songs? And it's like, well, I mean, because they work, man. Right. I mean, I don't want to necessarily play Jesse's Girl or Don't Stop Believing, but like, it just works, like, you know what I mean, like
over and over,
like, why
again
do you serve the same five drinks, you know, like, it's just works.
And this could, people gotta forget, there's always different crowds every night, so like, yeah, just because played last night, those are the people from last night, they don't know it this night.
Yeah, and then these,
like, you,
then,
you guys are just the having ones having to be, like, you said, I don't want to.
That's why I love weddings or corporate, because they've never seen us, they don't know the songs, no one's, it's a, you know, it's all brand new, and so I don't have to like answer to anyone.
That's a very specific cool niche to be in if you're gonna be a band representing weddings, meaning if you are the type of people that want a band other than a DJ, which is cooler in a way, then we're your band, you know, we're like, that's a good way to market, you know. Like, I think there's an avenue to where you can kind of make that as a push. I'm sure you're already thinking about this, but
well, yeah, it's just hard. I've lost I need to get back into it, because like, if I really should be, you know, meeting and talking to you know, like wedding planners and venues and stuff like that. I just, you know, maybe I get older, life goes on and I have other responsibilities and stuff, but no, I still, I would love to, I need to just get off my, I guess I need to stop being lazy. That's what it comes down to.
It's an interesting one. So do you think, you mentioned about up to 4 years ago where you were doing it full time.
Yeah.
Was that, did COVID kill that, or was it just kind of growing out of it? You know, or was it COVID that gave you that option to be like, well, you know?
Well, I mean, so actually it had stopped before COVID.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, but even then it was just like, it's a tough, man, those guys, I mean, you
and it's all nights.
Friends, like, it's a tough, I mean, with these, you know, these venues, especially with the casinos, like, there's no, like, they have no, like, they can cut you within like a, like, your show tomorrow's canceled. Sorry, buddy. Like, there's no
heads up or not.
Yeah, you're just like
contractual. There's not a lot of solid contracts that way.
Yeah, right? And they could swap you out. Like, oh shoot, yeah, we forgot. There's a big boxing fight or something coming in, and it's some Mexican fighter, and so we're gonna have a mariachi band. Like, they treat you like there's no stability. In other words, and so I mean,
we're trying to make a living.
Yeah, that's why. Like, I'm so glad I've never had to do it for a living per se. I mean, even when I was doing it full time, I was selling insurance and I had like a day job, so to speak.
Yeah,
but man, these guys that do it for a living and the hustle that's involved, like,
well, listen,
I have props to those guys.
Yeah,
but
no doubt.
I just never wanted to go down that.
And let's be honest, being a father, you're always gone at night.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not playing gigs at noon.
Yeah,
you know, you're playing at
no daytime,
and you're gone all night, and there's another night. You know, I mean, that's a big deal of it. I mean, you're always going to be gone gigging at night.
That's tough. Yeah, I know. It's almost like. You know, I've heard a lot from, I never worked in the industry like, you guys do, or the bar industry or the restaurant, but like, nighttime's where the money's at, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's like the golden handcuffs. You want to get out, but you can't, because the money's like a, it's like a stripper. Like, you want to get out, but the money's so damn
we're
good.
We're exactly like strippers. Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly.
Make money.
Yeah, no, right, exactly.
And I'm stuck.
Yeah. So I've always been fortunate enough where I never did it for a living. But for a lot of these guys that do, which is also why I probably, you know, if I did, you know, I was kind of had like 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I went full fledged, into it, I would
still have the contacts.
I would be right calling back in people and stuff, but
it's gotta be kind of nice to you too, though. I mean, that way, you don't get burned out too much. Like, you don't have to rely on it and stuff.
Now,
so.
Yeah, for me now, it's just fun. Like,
now, and I think that's the best part. Just doing
probably a better spot to be in.
Right,
you it that way.
You do it. Yeah, I mean, so you like it? What you do? Like a couple times a week, or once every other week, or
I mean,
you know.
We, it was getting,
once in a while, or
you know, maybe four times a month now.
Okay, I mean, yeah.
Towards the end of last year, we were rolling, but then we'll get like some good, like, you know, New Year's Eve, we were at the Hard Rock on the Strip.
Okay,
we played that. Yeah, that was a good game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was like a packed place.
Okay. So, had to have been crazy.
Well, yeah, that's great, then, that you have a group of guys that's all you need. It's just like, you know, like you said, four times a month.
Maybe? I'd rather play two like corporate awesome paying gigs than like 10.
Gotcha.
For the same price. You know what I mean? At this point in my life,
right.
You know,
I agree.
To do, I think anyone would, you know what I mean? Like,
and look, money aside, it keeps it fresh for you that way too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, three, four times a week. I know. I mean, Andy is what an animal for the Darby.
Darby,
I mean, just
yeah.
for so long grinding. Yeah. There were so many times that I know they were playing.
Oh, those guys play
so many
much.
Times a week.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a tough. If you have a fan, if you're so single, whatever, it's, no problems there. But you know, a spouse or kids is, I don't know how some of these guys
it's rough.
Do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's rough. That's yeah. the life.
And it's like I said, they cut 1 minute they love live music, and then the next minute they get rid of live music.
Yeah.
And then,
like you said, it's just so
it goes dark. And I mean Carnival Court, I at one point was 7 days a week, then moved to 4 days a week, and then it was just the weekends, and then we don't play there anymore. But like I remember they were always transitioning, and it's like it's tough because I remember with O'Shea's, they used to give us, this was always like this, they wouldn't give us the schedule for the next month until like the 20th or something of the
wow.
of the
wow.
previous month. And it's like, you can't, how can you plan your
yeah, it's
life
like,
and
on,
your expenses?
Yeah, you can't, right? You just kind of
so,
to them
yeah.
at I'm, the mercy of them, basically.
Yeah, so I'm glad I don't have to rely on it. But yeah, all these, there's tons. I mean, you know, probably more than me that do it for a living. It's a tough.
I mean, I know a lot. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I know. You know, there are some people that, you know, I know that they've gone routes where they've gotten built up enough to where they have contracts in place. Meaning
yeah.
not how like every like specific of days and stuff, but like, you know, you've as a venue sign a contract with me that I have to at least be there so many times a month. And if it gets canceled, I still get paid. I
oh,
know people that have
yep,
gotten
really?
That stuff.
Oh,
and I don't know if that's probably not pretty normal, but if
yeah.
the venue still believes in being a live music place,
right.
then what they shouldn't hesitate to say, well, look, we'll sign a little something. We're going to have music around.
Right.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, I mean, maybe there's a, I don't know, maybe there's a avenue there that can help out.
There's
you know?
A lot. I think that if you're like, I do play more guitar than I lead on here. I mean, I actually did a duo thing with my old guitar player for
okay.
about a year or two. We played like the Aria and like all over, like he would predominantly play most of the stuff. I would probably play in half the songs, but that's there's tons of I think there's more opportunity even for like a solo or you know, because
right.
it's cheaper for the venue and it's not as loud also.
Well,
like you think like a place
yeah.
like Hank's or something
yeah.
where they
well,
so,
yeah. in fact we have a Grayson Boss who's like one man band guy stuff. Right, they got him because he's just a single guy
yeah.
that can do all
yeah,
the
throw
the
him in the corner
stuff.
Maybe
yeah,
give
exactly.
him a couple $100 whatever
yeah, we talked about that back with the old Palms when they had a lounge there called the Palapa Lounge and they
mm-hmm.
did live music, not only just they did original bands, but they did anything and they did cover stuff. But that's when I first started seeing that live looping take off, and I'm gonna say that's probably 2002 or 2003
when it started. Yeah,
and you know, I'm saying there's probably already happening, but the first time I started seeing that more and more,
start catching
someone
on.
Doing
yeah,
a live
loopers.
Looping.
Yeah,
I'm
looping.
A fan of loopers. I don't
yeah.
know why.
You know,
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm not hating. I just like I just, when I see it's sick, I see someone. It's like, all right, it just takes so long to get the song going,
yep.
and then like the
well,
next song's the same
yeah.
thing. And I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
all right,
yeah,
dude,
yeah.
let's go.
I think that's where when we were talking with Grayson, how he kind of nicked that, whereas you can have things planned. You're not just building it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like it might be fun.
I think it's cool as shit, but it just
like build
know,
one
like,
song like
yeah.
that, right? And
yeah.
then after that, let's get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I remember being, you know, definitely impressed, but I think that's someone trying to find the niche. Okay. You don't want a full band because it's either too loud or you got to pay us all. But I don't want a DJ. I'm not a DJ. I'm a musician.
Yeah.
So
it's
maybe
kinda,
I'll do it by myself.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's where that niche was mm-hmm. kind of created. Because
yeah.
I mean, it's yeah. I mean, you can only
you
fight.
Still get that live feel, but it's kind of yeah.
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 A little bit. So,
so I mean, that's something that I may actually just after the wedding, my guitar player was like, "You want to do the duo thing?" And I'm like, maybe it'd be fun.
There you go.
I like. I mean, I like at the end of the day, I like just a. Someone's playing an acoustic guitar, like
yeah.
I mean, who doesn't like that?
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, like
yeah.
that's like
it's nice.
I love it,
and just
yeah.
a little something to say on the mic, whatever it is, and
yeah,
I always appreciate that, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So, when you go home, let's say like you would go home today, and house is empty, and you're gonna just sit back on the couch and put something on, like, what's your go-to, what's your favorite, like, I'm at home, I'm by myself, I'm gonna put this artist on or this album.
Oh, other than Dodger games?
Exactly.
If you know, I don't really, you know, I'm trying to think who I've sometimes I'll just go off on a tangent. Like I like just actually like last night I was the guy that won American Idol. I didn't even know. I don't really watch that show anymore. I did, but the big guy. Do you even know who won? No one knows anymore.
No.
He's a big guy, a big like Polynesian guy. He's almost like he looks like Iz, the guy that sang the Somewhere Over the Rainbow or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
he's almost like the new version of him, and he won the whole thing, and it, he just does this rendition of James Blunt song, which is about his dad that, and this guy's dad died. So like when he performs it, I mean, it's like you'll cry. Like,
oh wow, yeah.
So like song, stuff yeah. like that. I like, but I've been like, actually lately I've been like watching a lot of Alanis Morissette. I don't know why I just got into her again. Like,
there's no wrong answer, man. It's all what you prefer.
Post Malone, I was just watching on the way here.
That's cool.
He's freaking. I like it all. I just like. I think generally though, with music, as a singer, I'm more into like the lyrics.
Yeah,
I like would imagine who actually have like some, like to me, like John Mayer's lyrics to me are like stupid good. Like just the way he, the phrases, words and stuff, like he's like on a different level. But I like people that actually have, like, that's why I like Alanis Morissette, because that's what she was, you know, that's her thing. She's telling these stories.
So.
And I think that's missing from a lot of current music. Right. I love current music too, don't get me wrong, but you know, a lot of it's
so basically like President of the United States of America, Peaches, doesn't really get your
That's why I never got into like Lenny Kravitz too. Right. Like I like Lenny Kravitz songs, I love them all, but it's like he doesn't have like the deepest lyrics.
No,
you know?
I totally get you. Like there's gotta, for me, you gotta, you hear something, and once you peel that away after the allure of the first couple takes, if there's something still left there with the lyrics, that'll keep you coming back.
Yeah.
There's still something, though, to put another Dead Milkman's punk rock girl. It's stupid, but it's still something that's got there. It's like, it does nothing meaningful, but it does have a nice beat to it.
Yeah, but that was probably written as a story from somebody in that band. Of
it's probably from the singer, but
that,
So that. But I get what you said. It's nothing deep to that, but but I get it. Yeah, when you hear some good lyrics, I would say like Pearl Jam. His lyrics are just so deep.
Right,
I'm just like, what the hell? What happened to you, man? Like, dang,
I know.
Something happened bad.
Yeah, that first album, I mean, that came out. I remember that. That was like, I'm not gonna say changed my life, but that that album was like, I remember specifically because that's like right when music was transitioning from the pop to the, you know,
alternative kind of Nirvana.
Yeah, 91, 92.
Homegarden.
Yeah.
So you're getting poisoned.
Alice
with
in Chains.
Unskinny Bop to Live from, you know, from Pearl Jam. Yeah. Two different, you know, lyrics.
I remember I had to find it at this. It was an obscure, still CDs back then in Southern California, to like find that album because my friend told me about it. I'm like, what is this? You know?
Right.
It was almost like when, it's funny, the other day my dad called me because he's a music teacher here. He works at Family Music Centers.
Okay.
And he's like kind of a music snob. Like he doesn't, you know, if an artist doesn't like write and can't read music, like he thinks the last great musician was like Billy Joel. Like there's nothing like beyond since Billy Joel. I love Billy Joel.
He's
like nothing else. He thinks everyone's crabby, hates Taylor Swift. So he called me the other day and he's like, because he's like, oh yeah, you like Nirvana? I'm like, most people do. He's like, oh yeah, they're pretty good. He's like, yeah, my student brought in this song. He's like, hold on, let me grab it. And he like,
oh no,
it.
What
he's
song?
Like, he's like, have you heard of the song? It's called Smells Like. And I was like, Dad, I literally, because he said it slow because he was like reading it. I'm I go, Dad, please, like never. You should never say that publicly because, like, that song literally, like, changed music, like, in the 90s. Like, I remember when it was used to be the videos on MTV. I used to watch those, like, religiously record them.
Yeah, I'm a child of MTV.
And when that video, that was the one video when it came on, it was, like, completely different from, I was like, what is this song? It was, like, number one all the time on the top 10 or whatever.
Yep.
And that was the beginning of, like, that song.
The end of hair metal.
And there was all the alternative. But it was just so funny the way he said it. He's like, smells like, and I said, I said, are you kidding me, Dad? Like, you would be so embarrassed if you said that in public.
What's that all?
No, it's pretty good. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Have you ever put these types of shoes on? What are they called? Knee case?
Like, yes. I was dying.
This movie is really good called Star Wars.
Yeah. I told him, like, Dad, that's like saying, like, have you heard of, like, Bohemian Rhapsody? Like, that's like.
Yeah, you got to love him, man. That's
Louise.
Awesome.
Yeah,
man.
It was so funny the way
he
said
it. What does he teach?
Bass and a piano.
Oh, That's awesome.
Yeah, upright bass too.
And that, my grandfather really, was a stand-up bass player.
Yeah, yeah.
And that statement really tells me that he, like you said, he's a music snob for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Like, oh, no, man, he really just
like, grew up with classical music. So actually, I grew up a lot with that too. I used to listen to a lot of like Mozart and Tchaikovsky and stuff like that. Like I was kind of nerdy.
Still get my modes now. Every once in a while, I'll go and listen to that. You know, we've talked about it before, but like you said, you get little feels like, you know, I feel like listening to some classical today.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I feel like listening to a little bit of blues today, or, you know, I want some hard rock today. So
I listened. Yeah. I'm
all over too. I like, just like what you're talking about with your band, when you're covering all over I like being all over the place for me personally. You know, from
makes it more exciting.
You know, whether it's mornings at the table if we're having breakfast, or we're doing something in the morning, and it's like I'm very particular about my jazz, like 60s jazz, or like some classical music. It just fits the tone there, right? But then like later on that day, I'm like, oh, we gotta get some projects done around the house. Yeah. Come on, let's crank it up, you know. Yeah. But being all over the place with that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, I know. I really like. I don't care. Like I love Taylor Swift and then freaking I can't remember her name right now. Miley Cyrus.
I love all that stuff, man.
Yeah. I love with the current stuff. I mean, current bands. I mean, I was a big Dave Matthews fan, so like that's not even current, but like that was like my one band I went like nuts for. I saw him like 30 times. But like current bands, I don't know if you know, there's a band called Nothing But Thieves.
I have heard that.
That's actually like one of my favorite, but they're not really that popular. So there's really nothing current that I'm like.
There's stuff. We've talked about this before in this podcast. There's stuff out there. You just got to dig a little, but there's still good stuff out there. It's just not easily right in front of your face.
Accessible anymore. Yeah. But so much.
Find it or you have. I try to as a friend and someone that always is listening to music and digging, whether it's through Apple Music or going to a record store, whatever it is. But if I find something that's just really, I'm really into for a while, I'll send it to friends. Say, just tell me what you think. And if you like it, cool. If you don't, no big deal. But maybe it's just something new.
Yeah.
And I think if more people kind of did that, I mean, there's stuff there. I mean, I know I've talked to one of my friends and he was like, man, you know, music doesn't even have live drums anymore, live this. It's even on the album, it's all the instruments are synth. He's like, I just miss like a drum beat and a bass line and a guitar. I'm like, it's still there. You got to find it. But it's there. It's there's like still bands.
When Maroon 5, that first album, when they first came out, they were more like rock and stuff. Like,
yes.
I don't even know if they're even around. It's just Adam Levine basically now. But that first album was like more rock stuff. You know what I mean? Like Harder to Breathe. You know, that song is like, but now and then they just changed it. But, you know, I'm not, you know, these people say like they're sellouts or whatever. People become sellouts. Like, I don't like that term.
Like,
if it's MC Hammer going from like nice guy to like gangster rapper, that's one thing. But like, just to like change like and you know, with the times and stuff. I mean, it's smart. I mean,
that's what anyone in that position would do the same thing. Cause you get,
that's what you're doing that for it too.
You're doing, you know, you're trying to grow.
It's so funny.
Everyone stands back.
It's all the jealous haters that say that. Oh, and I'm like, okay, so they offer you $1 million a contract. You'd say no, right?
Yeah.
Everyone wants to try to grow, whether it's being a musician or whatever you're doing.
Right.
So if you're not growing and changing, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're going to make that one base of people happy if you never do anything different?
You think he's an old school bartender? Listen, the guy's getting tipped, like, sell out. You took that tip, you're a sellout.
But it is weird how some bands, like, never are able to, like, write another song that's,
that is weird.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like the one hit wonder guys. Like you,
well, no, even like Foo Fighters, right? Like Foo Fighters, but like, I don't know if they write another song, is it going to be as good as, I don't know. Like,
right,
it's not like it's the Stones are like writing a brand new song that's like one of their classics. It's just like, it's weird how that
happens. It's funny you say that because they did come out, they just came out with a new album.
Stones?
Hackney Diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually pretty good. Matter of fact, it's Sympathy for the Devil's not on that album.
Right.
Like you're saying.
Right.
But it's got some good stuff. He still has something to say. It's all original new music. The drummer that's on there was handpicked by Charlie before he passed away.
Uh-huh.
And he was playing gigs with the band while he couldn't make it anymore, being sick. So there, you know, there's little stories like that can kind of pull you into a new album too.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times what we're talking about is lack of something to write about anymore, right? Yeah. I mean, you were thirsty, well, you were hungry, you wrote all these songs when you were struggling, or and then I guess, you know, you kind of get a little older and you kind of get a little comfortable. Maybe you just don't have as much to pull from. Yeah. I don't know. You
kind of seems to also, like you say, especially if it's older band stuff that they don't get the push from, you know, from radio stations or from
partly
anymore. You know, their songs, like you said, might not be as great, but they still don't get the same love from them and the same airplay that they have. Or I wouldn't even know how a band nowadays, because nobody really listens to the radio anyway, so it's like, how do you even get your fucking name out there, you know?
YouTube,
you
say YouTube and this and that,
but you still got to be contending with a million other people now, you know.
The car companies came out recently and said they wanted to start making cars without AM radio because it's costing them money and they think it's a waste of time.
Getting rid
of AM.
Dude, that's right. Holy shit.
Think
that's
about that.
Suck. Yeah. No, you know, that sucks. So, it costs so much money, really.
I don't know. I guess it's just more production of
they're
having
putting,
to
like, foot warmers and automatic pedicures in the car, but the AM radio costs too much.
Yeah. That's shitty.
I got a deep fryer in my car, but this AM radio costs too much to put in the fucking car.
I don't know. Last time I used it, I guess to listen to a game, but nowadays it's just. Everything's so different now.
It's online, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking
I really appreciate you coming out and sitting with us and talking and kind of chatting about, you know, your band and everything. And I mean, we just.
Sure.
This time goes by quick we're doing this, doesn't it? I love it. Is there anything that you got coming up that you want to plug or maybe a website?
The one time I know.
Anything, your website, you know, so they know where to get some updates at.
Okay, so if anyone's listening, they're like, you know,
I can always put it on. I can always put it online on the description for your website and stuff. And
well, we're playing on February 29th, which is a leap year, so it's like that's about as often as we play now. So every four years, basically.
Okay, that's great.
So February 29th at Golden Nugget,
the Rush
Lounge, from 9 to 1. So we play down there quite a bit. So, but other than that, nothing really right now. I mean, it's crownavenueband.com.
Okay.
I guess that's we have some Instagram stuff out there too. I don't know. I'm old. I don't even know how to.
Yeah,
how to do that?
I'm horrible.
You got
at promotion.
The website stuff. You're good.
I mean, probably the worst promoter of. Right.
You'd be
there.
Surprised though. Someone's going to listen and be like, that guy was funny or cool. And you know what? We need to have a band at our wedding.
Honestly, I think we're well below industry standards on price, what we charge.
That's awesome.
I think I'm too cheap. But whatever. I don't care. I mean, it's
when you treat it for something on the side that's like a bonus and you're now just having fun with it instead of it being a grind, whatever. Probably a better spot to be in.
I think so. Cause then I'm just like, I appreciate it more, you know, especially as I get older. I mean, I'm going to be doing this for a while though. So I'm still
you're having fun and you like it. And then that shows through when you're when you guys performing and stuff, then just being like, we're just up here. And like I said, it helps that you're doing it cause you like it, not because you have to, cause you're making, cause you're like,
I almost want to go backwards and go back to the bar scene and stuff only cause I feel like it's a better, the people, it's better. Play the bar, every cover band usually starts with the bar scene and then they, I maybe graduate to the strip, but I like bars and stuff still. I think they appreciate you more and it's a better vibe. And
if we're all living here and you playing at a bar, the chances of us locals seeing it are way higher because none of us really go to the strip anyway, right?
Yeah.
You want to be there to make money, but you're playing to people you're never going to see again.
Yeah, well, that's how, we were playing a gig at this, one of the local bars, and then they saw us and they hired us for the wedding, and then...
There we go.
And then, maybe from there it'll lead to some other stuff. So, it's fun. I love it.
And it's another heads up for people out there with the wedding stuff. You know, you like live music, like you said. And the good thing with Crown Avenue is they play everything. They're not niche. They play everything.
Yeah, if you want to, we'll sing your wedding song or your first dance. Right. I mean, we did that for this one, or if you want to come up and sing some songs. And, we did one time.
Exactly.
Actually, we played, I think one wedding we did, The Power of Love. From Huey Lewis.
They did
this really cheesy dance. It was really funny. I wish I had it
before. Right.
And we'll do stuff like that. Yeah. So there's no limits for us.
I was listening to, it's funny you mentioned John Mayer. I think because he is going to be playing with the Grateful Dead. Remaining members, and they're doing a stint at the Sphere.
Really?
Anyway, I think I was listening to something and he mentioned watching as a young kid Marty McFly playing those power chords for Power of Love up on stage and that being something that he remembered.
Yeah.
What kind of guitarist he turned into. One of the greatest.
Marty McFly or John Mayer?
Mayer is freakishly good. Yeah, yeah. He's like, and he's cool, so cool because he's like a goofball too, which is weird. You know, you wouldn't expect, you know, these other guys are kind of like pretentious.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's all cool, laid back.
Weirdo, yeah.
I don't have fun with it, man.
Yeah,
it's too short, right?
Like the stuff you did with Chappelle, the Chappelle one. That
was awesome. Uh-oh. The Chappelle one, I was going to bring that up. That one, I forgot about that
one. Like, either like white people versus black people, or whatever it is.
If you guys want to, you went for some fun, John Mayer, Chappelle, and Chappelle Show. It was a very funny skit.
It was funny. That's a great
one. I watched it every once. So I'll pull it up every few months just to watch because it's that good on everything.
They're like at the board meeting.
The Latin music going so funny as when just yelling at the fucking people.
Yeah. Yeah. They're over at that board meeting and they start like dancing like it's Woodstock or something.
Yeah. Didn't that girl take her shirt off?
Yeah, that's a great one. I want to watch that actually. That's so funny.
Hey, thank you again, Mingo, man. Thank you for showing up. Yeah. Everybody out there, don't forget Crown Avenue, CrownAvenue.com.
Crown Avenue Band. Yeah.
CrownAvenueBand.com.
Which is never updated, by the way. So, but whatever.
Get some information out there. And they'll be playing on the 29th of this month in February, 2024. If you're listening past that, then you might you're gonna miss it, but we'll have it out definitely before then. Thank you, buddy. Come out again since it's raining and stuff and everything. Pat, anything else, bud?
No, that was great. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah,
and I look forward to many more of these this year.
Yeah, definitely out there. We're trying to get consistent with these guys. We'll get some more guests, great guests out here like Bingo and everything. Remember, everybody, want to get a hold of us, we're at talesfromvegaspodcasts@yahoo.com. And we'll see you guys again. Bye.